Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I think we're all probably fairly familiar with that story that we heard in our Old Testament lesson, that story of those proud people who wanted to build a city with a big tower to demonstrate their greatness. But God confused their language, scattered them before their building plans got off the ground. This morning, we connect that story with Pentecost, the day that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the disciples who then preached the good news in all of the languages of the nations around them. Those two contrasting events come together this morning, Babel and Pentecost. At Babel, God scattered, and at Pentecost, God gathered. At Babel, a diversity of tongues brought an end to the ambitions of prideful humanity. And at Pentecost, God proceeds with his plan to bring salvation to all people using that very diversity of tongues. Babel and Pentecost are about language and how God uses it, both to scatter and to gather. It's said that California has more languages per square mile than any other place in America. In fact, perhaps in the whole world. That diversity caused one man to say to his wife, you know, we don't need to leave town to be in a foreign country. We just need to take a drive. Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Russian, Arabic, Spanish, Portuguese, you name it, they have it. There's a Toyota dealership in El Monte, California that has 700 plus employees representing 21 countries who speak 40 languages and dialects. And it's also one of the top selling dealerships in the country. But you don't need to go to California to find diversity. When we were in Salt Lake City, St. John Lutheran Church, one of our sister congregations, hosted a very active group of Sudanese Christians every Sunday afternoon. In fact, Salt Lake has many Christian churches which offer services to various ethnic groups. And Boise, Meridian, Nampa, Caldwell also offer many opportunities for a multicultural moment. I've had some of the best Mexican food here in the Treasure Valley. And in this valley, you can meet people from Syria, Iraq, Congo, Burma, Bhutan, Afghanistan, Somalia. Now, some people like that. Some people, in fact, love it. Others are uncomfortable. And sometimes prejudices can be amplified because there are these many languages. It may cause some to want everyone to speak in one language, preferably their own. Well, there was a time when the world had only one language. We read about that this morning. The descendants of Noah had settled in a plain called Shinar, and they had a plan. Use baked bricks instead of stone or mud bricks to build a great city with a tall tower. You see, with bricks, you can build anywhere you want, as high as you want. But most bricks in those days were dried in the sun, and that worked fine as long as it didn't get too wet. You could use stone, but it needed to be quarried, and you were limited to where it was available. In addition, stone was difficult to work with. But baked bricks had all the advantages of mud bricks and stone without the disadvantages. And that meant independence and self-sufficiency. Their plans were lofty, pun intended. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. The problem they had wasn't wanting to build large buildings. The problem was why they wanted to build those buildings. They wanted to reach to the heavens. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to be masters of their destiny. And baked bricks were simply the latest technological breakthrough to attain their goals. You might say that they were guilty of the sin of technolatry, a misplaced trust in our own inventions and ingenuity. It could be said that the ship Titanic also highlighted man's technolatry. At the start of the voyage, one of the owners is quoted to have said, "Not even God can sink the Titanic." They were so confident they didn't even carry a full load of life rafts. The latest technology assured them that the ship was unsinkable. Ironically, that very technology, the technology that made the Titanic unsinkable, actually speeded its sinking. Improvements in engine technology allowed the ship to go faster, which caused it to strike the iceberg with much more force. And advances in steel manufacturing actually made the steel more brittle. Now, there's nothing wrong with technology per se, just as there's nothing wrong with baked bricks and tall towers. It's what we do with them and why we build them that speaks to the issues of the heart. When our faith and hope and trust is in our tools, when we use our technology to reach up to the heavens, to amass fame and fortune, to seize control of our own destiny and shake our fist at God, we too become guilty of technolatry. And it doesn't take much to topple our techno gods. A satellite slips out of orbit, and our TVs become expensive paperweights. Or the sun goes through some extra sunspot activity, and our cell phones are basically worthless. Or a little dust settles on the hard disk, and the data is history. The psalmist says that God looks down from heaven at man's lofty plans, and he laughs. And sometimes he does even more. Sometimes he interferes subversively. He doesn't just topple the tower or cause that baked brick to crumble into dust or send some big earthquake to the plain of Shinar. Instead, he confuses their language. He shuffles up their nouns and verbs and tangles their tongues so they can no longer understand one another. They called the place Babel, or more properly, I guess, Babel, the place where God scrambled tongues and scattered people. And this place was later called Babylon, another city that typified man's pride and ambition. And even in the book of Revelation, Babylon is pictured as a woman who lures men to their death with her luxuries, wealth, and power. See, God saw that one people with one language wasn't a good idea. He knew what would happen when sinners could cooperate much too easily. He knew the harm that we would do, harm to ourselves as well as to others. So that ambitious city and tower, they were just the beginning. So in order to protect us from ourselves, God confused our languages and scattered us. And we've been babbling ever since. Language is always a divide, keeping us from working together easily. Learning languages will always be difficult, requiring a lot of study. Our many languages will always keep us from being terribly efficient at getting a job done globally. It'll always keep us slightly off balance, inefficient. And that's ultimately good for us this side of heaven. So the next time you see those non-English signs, or you're surrounded by a dozen languages not your own, think about those people on that Shinar plain with their bricks and tower, and reflect on our own technolatry. The God who loves us protects us from our ambitions in order to save us, because our technologies can't. Our tools and toys can't bring us to heaven. They can't secure our destinies. Only God can do that. Only God can give us what we truly need. And that brings us to Pentecost. At Pentecost, the Jews who were scattered among different nations were gathered for worship. The Jewish festival, the Jewish Pentecost festival, takes place 50 days after Passover. It's a harvest festival, a celebration of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. So worshipers gathered from every nation under heaven. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. When suddenly there was this sound of rushing wind and the appearance of what seemed to be tongues of fire as the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in a variety of languages. Something special, something big was happening. And in a sense, that confusion of Babel was lifted. The languages remained, but now the Holy Spirit gave the disciples the ability to speak them. But not just to speak them, but to speak a particular message. To speak the message of Jesus' death and resurrection in their own native tongue. The gospel broke through the Babel, that language barrier. And that miracle said, Jesus isn't only for those who speak Hebrew. He's also for you. He died for each of you. He's your Savior. He conquered death for you. He reigns at God's right hand for you. You can be sure of that because you're hearing it in your own language, the language of your heart. And that's just as true for us today. The forgiveness of your sins won by a man who spoke Aramaic and Hebrew, preached by apostles who spoke Greek and Latin, has come to us in our own language. God's gift to us. See, there's no more personal way of saying that Jesus is your Savior from your sin and death than to say it in your language. There's at least one global and united activity that we know God approves of. And that's spreading the name of Jesus. Not in one language, but in many. You see, God's ambition and desire is to gather the nations, not around a tower made of bricks, but around the cross of his Son. Not in one language, but in many. And across the centuries, missionaries have learned the languages of people. Sometimes they've even needed to invent an alphabet to put the scripture in their own languages. And all of that shouts that there is one Lord Jesus Christ, crucified for your sin and raised for your eternal life, whether he's proclaimed in Korean or Chinese or Japanese or Russian or Spanish or Arabic, there is only one Lord Jesus. Many languages, but one Holy Spirit, one baptism, one Lord's Supper, one forgiveness, one salvation from sin and death. Luke tells us that after coming to faith, those 3,000 disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. Scripture, fellowship, the Lord's Supper, and prayer in many languages by one church in the single name of Jesus. Pentecost teaches us that this Jesus is for us, for you, for me. But it also teaches us that our task isn't to teach everyone English. Our task is to teach everyone about Jesus. Preach the message of his grace and mercy to the nations in their own language. You know, if a Toyota dealer in El Monte can do it to sell cars, how much more so the church who dispenses the eternal gifts of Christ. But a day is coming. A day is coming when we will again be one people with one language. The day we see Jesus face to face in the resurrection. And on that day, we'll stand before the throne of the Lamb and his Father and worship him in a new tongue. together with believers of every nation and tribe and people and language. What a day that's going to be. But for now, for today, the gift of Pentecost is the doctrine of the apostles, the fellowship of the church, the breaking of the bread and the prayers in many languages. And so let our prayer be, O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth will declare your praise. To everyone, everywhere, maybe even to those right next door. Amen.